Social media can be politically polarizing. This past presidential election proved that. We connect with like-minded people online. They serve up content we might like. Algorithms filter the churn to favor stuff that you'll engage with, meaning stuff that you'll like and probably agree with, meaning more echo chambers and more polarization. But can technology also help depolarize people? Asma Khalid leads Bostonomics, our new business and innovation team, and she's been talking to local tech entrepreneurs about their efforts to break through the filters that social media has created. Hi there, Asma.
Hey, Meghna.
So tell us more about these filters that we're creating.
Sure, Meghna. So, you know, think about how many times you've told a friend, I saw this story on Facebook. I covered the campaign, and I can't tell you how frequently voters would mention some story that they had seen on social media. You know, social media has become this news source for a lot of us.
Absolutely.
The Pew Research Center has found that over 60% of U.S. adults get news on social media. Probably, you know, no big surprise to a lot of us. But what's interesting is that if social media is a news source, it's also a highly curated news source. And I asked Martin Savesky about this. He's a PhD student in the Lab for Social Machines at the MIT Media Lab.
People have much higher tendency to be friends or follow people with whom they share the same political leaning, regardless of how Twitter or Facebook or any social platform sorts essentially their feed. They will always be more likely to see kind of articles that agree with their own views.
It makes sense because of who they're connected to, what kind of content they engage with, that kind of thing.
Exactly. So probably no big surprise. But what I think is interesting is sort of the extent of that polarization. Martin works with Deb Roy. He heads up this lab at MIT, and he's also chief media scientist at Twitter. So Deb Roy had access to the entire fire hose of tweets during the campaign. And so for months, Roy and his team digested every single tweet that was ever tweeted about the U.S. elections in English. And he told me this.
One of the things that we found was, through this kind of data analysis, we could develop very fine-grained maps of tribal networks that formed around the public conversation on the elections.
And so, Meghna, you would literally see sort of groups of Hillary Clinton supporters kind of way over here on the left and then Trump supporters over here. And it was literally as if he was saying that these folks were tribes. And so he realized that, you know, sort of people are existing in these separate online spaces.
Well, I'm curious, though, because, I mean, we've heard so much for the past year, and especially after the election, about the polarizing effect of technology. And now you're saying we're building these tribal maps. So, I mean, do people in the tech sector feel like they have some kind of responsibility to do something?
Well, what Deb Roy told me is that, you know, he wondered, instead of just using all this big data that he was able to analyze for information, what if he could help build bridges across these tribal boundaries?
What would it be like to take the point of view of someone else, somewhere else in this landscape? And what if some of the things you experience actually aren't so different, aren't so foreign? What if there's actually some common ground between different points of view?
So, Meghna, his team came up with this experiment. It's really just a lab experiment. It's called FlipFeed. It's a Chrome extension that you can add onto your Twitter account. And they have a collection of accounts that span the political spectrum. So if you flip your feed, you will start seeing things from different political points of view. We tried it out, and we were teleported to Pike County, Pennsylvania. You know, it's kind of voyeuristic, I'll admit, but it's also kind of cool. I got to see the very tweets that this person would have seen, you know, the Fox News updates, the Senate Republicans. But I also got to see, you know, other accounts that they followed, like this local music concert.
Okay, so that's interesting. So it's sort of putting you in the online headspace
exactly.
of another group, another tribe. All right. But as you said, this is on a really, really small scale right now. So what's the goal with FlipFeed?
So, Meghna, I asked Deb that very question, and he told me he's not sure. You know, it's not really a consumer product. They haven't really been advertising it. So he says so far they're sort of into the thousands in terms of downloads, but he told me that his ultimate goal is to really have this technology help foster some kind of empathy and tolerance among people.
I think that's a laudable goal.
It is. I told him it was a little lofty.
And I have to say, I'm slightly skeptical. This is just my personal opinion, because I can also imagine another outcome being, you know, you see this flipped feed from a wildly different political perspective or different geography, and it only hardens your opinion, your negative opinion about the other side. I mean, we don't know. We wouldn't know unless millions of people do this, right?
Mm-hmm. And there's some level of experimentation, exactly.
Exactly. Have you met other folks in Boston thinking about the same question about depolarizing through technology?
I have. I met this guy, Henry Tsai. He's a student at Harvard Business School. And he told me the night of the election was just so eye-opening for him, but it was also kind of demoralizing because he sort of opened up his social media accounts and he felt like people were demonizing one another. They were being entirely dismissive. And he told me he felt like he saw this happening on both sides mm-hmm. of the political spectrum.
Definitely.
So he used to work in Silicon Valley before he had come over here to Harvard Business School. And he told me one of the things that he feels he adopted from his Silicon Valley life is this belief that if you see a system, you can kind of change it or disrupt it in some way. And so that's essentially what he wanted to do. And with the help of this MIT student, he came up with a platform called Hi from the Other Side. It's kind of like imagine going on a blind date to chat about politics. That's essentially what this is. It's a matchmaking service, a kind of email introduction between a Clinton supporter and a Trump supporter so that they can meet in real life. And Henry told me that that is what is key, moving this conversation offline.
Right.
Because we all know how nasty the comment section of a news site can get. And people behave differently online.
Yeah. And I mean, IRL is where real life happens. So are people using his service?
Well, kind of on a micro level. You know, he says about 4,000 to 5,000 people have signed up. And he did introduce me to two of the first people to use Hi from the Other Side, which I thought was so fascinating to hear how they experienced this process. Their names are Allison Liu and Dennis O'Brien. Allison had voted for Clinton. Dennis had supported Trump. They both told me that they were equally confused after the elections. Allison opened up her Facebook looking for answers, but she didn't see a single Trump-supporting person there. Dennis says he remembers seeing girls crying, and he didn't understand why they were so terrified that Donald Trump had won. Allison came into our studios, and so together we called Dennis. He used to live here in New Hampshire, but he recently moved to New Jersey for a job. And I asked them both what it was like, you know, what this experience was like. Let's take a listen. We'll start with Dennis, and then you'll hear Allison.
She wasn't crazy. There was never a moment where I felt stupid or I felt like, you know, I was an idiot. Likewise, towards her, I never thought she was, you know, anything more than a normal person.
He's not, like, you know, racist and bigoted, like, I think the stereotype, right, of some Trump supporters are. And I think what helped was also we were able to find a little bit of common ground.
Huh.
So, Meghna, they told me that they found a little bit of common ground around climate change. But one of the things that they both mentioned was just how much better it is to meet in person to have these conversations.
Yes!
Allison told me that that way she could ask follow-up questions. And Dennis told me that social media just seems at times to push people apart.
On Facebook, if someone says something I don't like, I can call him an idiot. But would I do that in public if we were in the exact same setting? There's no way that would fly.
I mean, well, I love that they're having this realization. It's so true. I mean, I just want to, like, my editorial statement for today, everyone, put your phones down and talk to your neighbors.
Isn't it amazing that, Meghna, you and I are sitting across the studio in real life?
And we're actually having a conversation. But, okay, so even though my call for people to speak to their neighbors or people they don't know aside, all of this sounds very noble. But you heard my slight skepticism about the tech sector changing the world for the better a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Do we know how effective things like Hi from the Other Side are?
So it's really hard to say right now, right? Because they're both kind of experiments. But Meghna, look, these aren't the only initiatives. There's been a lot of soul searching after the election among tech and media companies. The Wall Street Journal has this initiative called Blue Feed, Red Feed that lets you see liberal and conservative perspectives side by side. But look, I'm with you on the skepticism. You know, for now, all these strategies or tech products, they take effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to take the initiative to download a Chrome feed or physically meet up with a stranger. And for a lot of folks, that's a nuisance. And maybe we're all just kind of perfectly content to just passively scroll through our own personalized Twitter feed.
But let's hope not, right? Let's hope not. You have to begin somewhere. Asma Khalid leads WBUR's new business and technology team, Bostonomics. She's talking us through some early efforts to get people to be less polarized through technology. Oh, and by the way, even though we're telling people to get off their phones, I want to just give a plug here that you should follow Bostonomics on Twitter. They've got a great online presence. They're at Bostonomics. That's Boston, OMIX. Asma, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.